Father God, we invite your Spirit here to speak to our hearts. And I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me. May we know more about you, Lord, and come to know you better and to live lives that are more worthy of you, for you are great. Amen. Well, a small apology, first of all. And the apology is, sorry we didn't read all of Acts 7. It's 60 verses long, and with the extra bit to get the beginning of the story, I felt that would be slightly too much to sit and listen to. So I'm sorry about that. But what I would say is, why not take it home and read it yourself? Now, I know I stand up here saying this quite a lot, you know, why not go and read it? So there's a challenge for you. According to a commentator I read, Stephen's version of events in Acts 7 relates to no known version of the Old Testament. There are one or two very minor, admittedly, and not theologically important, but there's one or two very minor differences between what Stephen says and the version you'd get in the Old Testament. So the challenge to you is to read that through and see if you can spot them. And I would say that had I not read this particular commentary, I would have absolutely no idea, because they're that minor, but, you know, the challenge is up to you. So do have a read of what Stephen is saying. When I was growing up, I used to quite like watching Star Trek. Okay, slightly geeky, I know. But if you're into that sort of TV series, you can spot something about the minor characters. If you get a minor character that is introduced into a series, you know they're going to do one of three things. Either they're going to be the love interest of a major character, and so they're going to stay, and that's their way of introducing them. They'll be there next week. Or, much more likely, they're going to die off by the end of the series. And this means that if you're a main character, you can face death because you know that it'll be the minor character that's going to die, not you. Or, I suppose the third option would be that they would be the love interest of a major character and they'll die off, and that creates heartbreak and tension and gets rid of the minor character. Now, you could look at it and think that Stephen was a bit like that minor character, in that we get introduced to Stephen in Acts 6, and he's been killed off by Acts 7. Is this meaning that Stephen is just crewman number 6 within this story of Acts? And there are some similarities here, because Stephen, we don't know a lot about his backstory. We do know he gives a very impassioned death speech, and then that's it. Goodbye, Stephen. But I think, looking through this, that although Stephen is a relatively minor character in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot that we today can learn from Stephen. Now, I also read this week that there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. And I can't tell you who attributed that or who that's attributed to, because most people seem to have also said it. So attribute it to me. It also said that if you've got death and taxes, therefore you need an accountant to help you out with your taxes, and you need a vicar to make sure you've got a good death. And I was pondering this through the week and wondering, is this really my role? As I'm learning as a curate here, should I be preparing people to have a good death? Is that solely what I should be doing? And having pondered it, I think actually there's more to it than I first thought. And yes, that is part of what my role is, a big part. Because having a good death comes from having a good life. But you need to be aware that Christianity is more than just fire insurance for death. It's not just a hope of heaven that we live out now. When Jesus was on earth, he spoke about what he'd come to do. And he says in John 10:10, I've come that they might have life, and life to the full. This is not the words of someone who's saying, believe in me, put up with the bit that's going on now, just sort of get through it, and then heaven's great. These are the words of someone who's saying, live life to the full for now. So we're looking for a good life. And I wonder, what is meant by a good life? When I've talked to a few people preparing for funerals with them, they often say of the deceased, they had a good life. And I wondered quite what people mean by that. Often I think it means that they had a long life. It's easier to accept death in someone who is older than in a child, maybe. Or maybe it could be that they had a happy life, a fulfilled life, that they lived for themselves, that it was good. I don't know. But I want to look today at what that might mean for us as a Christian, and using Stephen's life and his death as an example. Because as I said, Stephen had a good death. Now, you might read that passage at the end of Acts 7 and look at the fact that basically he was dragged by a screaming mob who then stoned him to death and think, no, I wouldn't want to go like that. That's not a particularly good death. But I think the manner of his death is irrelevant in this case. It's more about the fact that he was prepared for his death. And he was prepared for his death because he lived a good life. So what do we know about Stephen? Well, we were introduced to Stephen back in Acts 6, where there was issues with food distribution. It's likely then that Stephen was one of the Hellenistic members, so he was Greek, which means he would have been more at home with the Greek language and culture than the prevailing Aramaic one. So he was a foreigner who'd come to live in the area, probably. He was one of the seven who were chosen to wait on tables. And he performed great signs and wonders. Now, speculation, and again, this is based on a bit of reading, but was that he was probably one of the 3,000 who were converted at Pentecost. This is because it's unlikely he ever met Jesus in person. Jesus' ministry was particularly to the Aramaic speakers around Galilee, which is unlikely that Stephen would have been one of those. Might be, who knows. But either way, he wasn't a follower of Jesus for very long. But we know a couple of things about him. This is from Acts 6. It's on page 1098 if you wanted to look at it. Acts 6 verse 5 says, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So we know that Stephen is a good Christian man and he's full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And this is enlarged in verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Stephen had a very full Christian life. So I want to look today at how that life prepared him for a good death and to maybe challenge some of our thinking in the way we're doing. So as I go through these characteristics that I believe Stephen is showing in that short bit we know about him, let's look at ourselves and think, do these apply to us? So the first thing is that Stephen faced death without fear. Slightly strange, maybe. It wasn't without persecution or suffering or grief or trouble or pain, but it was without fear. And you might ask, well, where have I got that from? In verse 15 of chapter 6, it says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, if you look at examples of where angels appear within the biblical story, the first words they normally say are, don't be afraid. Because they're the big scary ones, and everyone else is going, whoa, an angel's just appeared. It's unlikely that if they're describing Stephen's face as like that of an angel, it's unlikely that Stephen was looking scared. That might be why they were looking so intently at him. They were hoping that this accusations that they were throwing at Stephen would have frightened him, that they would have stopped him speaking out, that they would have silenced him. But Stephen is facing it without fear, and he speaks the truth without fear. He lived his life without fear, and he died without fear. And how is that possible? Well, in verse 8 we saw that he was full of God's grace and power. By the power and grace of God, he was able to face death without fear. Secondly, he was able to face death without any bitterness in his heart. If you look at the account of his death, and to be honest, it is quite horrific, I think. But in chapter 7, verse 58... At this they covered their ears, yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So he's praying to God at the time of his death. At this point then, it says that he fell to his knees. Now possibly this is because you've got a group of people who are angrily throwing stones at him. He's being forced to his knees by people as the stones hit him. It's not a good time for him. And yet look at the words that he says. He cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. By grace and power of God, he faced death with no fear. And by the grace and power of God, he forgave his attackers. Now, if you think about yourselves and how you might be facing a situation like that, and I really do hope that none of us ever do, but think how we'd be facing that. Would we have that grace and power of God to be forgiving our attackers at that point? See, it wouldn't have surprised me if it said there that Stephen went off on one, that he went mad and he was shouting and screaming at his attackers, begging them to stop. But no, what he's doing is praying to God and saying, Lord, forgive them. You'll know that time of death can bring out bad feelings. Often it's a time when family feuds and arguments and greed come together, and that often there's a sad tinge to a death because there are times when the family and people who've known the person who's died gather together, that all the bad things tend to come out as well as the good things. And probably you'd agree with me that bitterness at the time of death gives you a bad death, but that Stephen's death here with forgiveness is a good death. But there's a problem, and the problem is that it's very difficult to learn to be forgiving on our deathbed, or in Stephen's case, in the street as the stones are raining down on you. That we need to practice this forgiveness now in order that when we come to our death time, and it will come, but when we come, we'll be able to practice forgiveness because it's been part of our life. Stephen faced death with no bitterness and ready to forgive, because he'd practiced the art and he had the power and the grace of God to help him. So death without fear and death without bitterness. Thirdly, Stephen faced death firmly fixed on Jesus. When the opposition came, he wasn't focused on himself or on ambition or on avoiding conflict simply for the sake of avoiding conflict. He was focused on Jesus. Chapter 7, verse 54. This is within the time there. When they heard this, they, the Sanhedrin, the rulers, were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. What a great expression. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Total focus on Jesus, even in the difficult times. Now, we don't know this, but I would suspect that he was used to having that focus because he lived his life that way. Because his life was lived with that total focus on Jesus. So in that stressful time, he was able to look up and see just Jesus there. Not focusing on what's around, but focusing on Jesus. Now, it'd be easy to look at Stephen and consider, well, because he's in the Bible, he's one of these heroes of faith. He's a superman. We couldn't do that. But actually, Stephen is described as full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And both of those attributes are available to us now. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit. It's available to us now. Our eyes are our eyes fixed totally on Jesus. Are we able to face stressful and difficult situations because we can look up and see the glory of God there in heaven and Jesus standing there? Stephen could. And I think that's quite a challenge to all of us, to me especially. Can we focus our lives totally on Jesus? So no fear, no bitterness, and focused on Jesus. And finally, Stephen knew his Bible, the scriptures that he'd been brought up on. And he knew them not as history, but as God's story running throughout the time. And he interpreted the world around him according to the scriptures. He was immersed in it. Although we didn't read all of it, he talks through basically a summary of the Old Testament. He answers his accusers who accuse him of blasphemy, of taking what Moses says, of being against God. And he interprets this in the light of the Bible, the scriptures that these people already had. When the crisis came, he drew on what he knew because he was immersed in his scripture. He used it to interpret the happenings, to respond to the happenings, and to find encouragement in those. So can we be like Stephen? Stephen, who, by the grace and power of God, faced death without fear, reassured through his knowledge of the Bible, of Scripture. Stephen, who, by the grace and power of God, knew that Jesus was the Messiah due to his scriptural knowledge. Stephen, who, by the grace and power of God, prepared for a good death because he lived and breathed scripture. And Stephen, who by the grace and power of God was prepared for a good death because he was equipped for a good life. Can we too equip ourselves for a good life by following the example of Stephen. There's a challenge to face us this week, but we too can take that grace and that power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's invite the Holy Spirit now to give us that grace and power. Father God, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit on us, that your Holy Spirit would fill us, that we may be like Stephen, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Lord, Stephen's life is a challenge to me. I presume it's a challenge to all of us to be able to live like that and face death like that. And Lord, we ask for your help for us to live a good life, a life full of you, and to prepare for a good death, Lord. Amen.